Knife. Are you suggesting this is a knife I have in my hand? Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost it.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight, with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any big spikes. That's what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their
audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit?
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder?
It's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And, of course, now it's come out. Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North Americans, the Europeans, and the Asians. So he said to me, would you like to be on the trilateral commission? Now, I was 30 years old.
That's because they have to have a guy trained and ready that's doing the job who will do exactly as they say.
Meanwhile, the propaganda outlets aren't just non-reporting. They are engineering consent, diverting eyes from the...
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. We've got a lot of great guests coming up. Mike Lindell, Joey Pepperoni is going to explain to us some of what's been revealed in the Epstein files. That, of course, is going to be probably the main topic of conversation today as it continues to dominate the headlines, and we continue to get a lot of information out of the files released last Friday, the 3 million. As we speak, Pam Bondi is being grilled in the Congress and Senate, and I want to go to some of those videos here first. We also have some around the world terrorism to discuss from the usual suspects. I guess you could say a 13-year-old stabbing his classmates in the UK while yelling Allahu Akbar, as well as a mass murder in Canada by a transgender individual on handfuls of SSRIs. So we'll talk about that as well. We're going to be joined by Mike Lindell and Mark Mitchell of Rasmussen to talk about the devastating effects that Trump's failure to move on Epstein is having with his poll numbers and his support and what that means for the midterms. It's not looking good, folks. And again, we've got just a ton of new information. A lot of it positive for Trump, which is weird because he still seems to be avoiding this topic like the plague. It's very weird. It's very bizarre. It's very inexplicable, although I think I have some suggestions as to what might be behind some of this. But let's go to some of these clips from Pam Bondi where she's being asked about the Epstein files. It got a little contentious, not in a good way, and this is truly a bizarre situation to be in. Not to beat a dead horse or anything, but I do just want to remind you again that the Democrats have spent the last decade downplaying the entire concept of elite pedophilia. So then to see them standing on a pedestal and questioning Pam Bondi about Jeffrey Epstein like they're the ones that care about this, it's just disingenuous enough to make you sick. But let's go to some of these clips from Pam Bondi. Let's go to clip 44 here. AG Pam Bondi just revealed a massive win. Let's watch.
The Department of Justice is committed to holding criminals accountable to the fullest extent of the law. In 2025, the FBI arrested over 1,700 child predators, a 10% increase from 2024. We also located 2,700 victims of child exploitation and shut down 3.8 million dark web pedophile accounts. 3.8 million. So please, if you have information to share that needs to be investigated, contact the FBI.
Okay, not bad. Not a bad start. And of course, she's right. And even Axios and other liberal publications have to admit it. Violent crime plummets across major U.S. cities was their headline today from Axios. And it's actually funny. The original tweet I clicked on, the original headline was like, you know, despite Trump's rhetoric, murder rate, violent crime has plummeted over the last year. And it's like, what do you mean despite Trump's rhetoric? No, this is because of Trump's rhetoric, actually. No, this is actually directly in line with Trump's rhetoric. What are you talking about? But essentially, they're trying to say that you know, all this talk about violent crime is overblown because look how much it's going down. It's like, no, it's going down like that because Trump has made it a priority. Obviously, violent crime dropped sharply across America's biggest cities in 2025, according to new data reviewed by Axios. The stats were yet another sign that violent crime in the U.S. was starkly different than what President Trump cited as his reason for sending federal troops to Chicago, Portland, Washington, D.C., Memphis, and other cities in California. Yeah, wrap your mind around the liberal worldview. It is just utter madness, pure, unrelenting madness. It just doesn't make any sense. So it's an article about how these programs have caused a precipitous drop in violent crimes, but the way they're presenting it as if the drop in crimes therefore discredits the reason that the program was instituted in the first place. I think they might be dumb. I think these people might just be very dumb, or they're lying, but either way, screw them. But that's about the best that that Bondi did, old AG Pam Bondi, in this hearing. And it turned into a shrieking match for a lot of it. Kind of embarrassing, if you ask me, even though the people that she's yelling at are literally the worst people in the world. Okay, I'm talking Jerry Nadler, talking Ratcliffe. What's that guy's name? He looks like a rat. Ratskin? Is that his name? His name is Ratskin? Raskin. Oh, okay. Raskin. Ratskin. Maybe more appropriate. I'm kidding, of course. Yes, Jamie Raskin. We know. We know old Jamie. He looks like a badly used steel wool sponge. Let's go to clip number 43 here. I almost hesitate to like go into these clips because they're very annoying. And it's just another sign of our collapse that we can't have a congressional or Senate hearing without it just descending into cursing and name calling and screeching at each other. It's very embarrassing. Here's AG Pam Bondi with what they call a generational takedown of insufferable Rep. Jerry Nadler. Let's watch.
President saying they indicted me twice. They sure did. They tried to impeach him twice. And you, Mr. Nadler, were one of the leads on the impeachment. I was on the other side. I lived that with you. During impeachment, you said the president conspired, sought foreign interference in the 2016 election. Robert Mueller found no evidence, none, of foreign interference in 2016. Have you apologized to President Trump? Have you apologized to President Trump, all of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump? You all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, all the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million, and Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history.
So again, you know, she's like got this like fire and brimstone act going on. And listen, don't get me wrong. Jerry Nadler deserves every insult ever thrown at him. Not defending Jerry Nadler in the slightest. She's right about the ridiculous attempts to impeach President Trump and all this. She's exactly right about that. It's just, I get a sense of the lady doth protest too much. Just a bit of the outrage, the seeming righteous indignation. It's just a little misplaced because, lady, you're a complete and utter failure. I hate to let you know. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but for the last year, you have presided over a giant pot of absolutely nothing. You have achieved absolutely nothing. You have arrested absolutely none of the rampant criminals that still hold positions in our government in some cases. You couldn't get the Comey indictment. You didn't get indictments of anybody in Russiagate, despite the fact that we've known for the last decade at this point that these people flagrantly violated any number of laws. They couldn't even get a grand jury indictment of the Seditious Six, which we'll get into in a little bit, because I think that's a whole other kettle of worms and problems and issues. But it's like, it's a little bit too much, because at the same time that she's, you know, talking about how we've released the files and we're doing everything just right, the White House continues to completely stonewall any examination of the files. Let's go to clip number 63 here. This is White House spokeswoman, Caroline Leavitt, yesterday when she's asked about the Epstein files. Let's watch.
And that remains true. And this call, if it did happen, corroborates exactly what President Trump has said from the beginning. And I'm sure many of you, when you read that alleged FBI report, probably thought to yourself, wow, this really cracks our narrative that we've been trying to push about this president for many years. So we're moving on from that. Reagan.
We're moving on. We're moving on from it because it doesn't indict Trump. Like, this is the weird thing. It's like the Trump administration is like, okay, if it did indict Trump, would we be looking at it? Because so far, as I've seen, nothing in this indicts Trump. It indicts a lot of people around him. It indicts Howard Lutnick, who's sort of Trump's controller at this point. It indicts Marco Rubio to a large degree. It indicts a lot of the people in very close proximity to President Trump. But it actually exonerates Trump to a large degree. And yeah, Pam Bondi has her sticky mitts all over this. I mean, she was involved in the first Epstein I don't even want to call it conviction, where they pretended to convict him and they said, okay, you got to go to jail, but only on the weekends and we'll give you a ride. It's just ridiculous. But she was involved in that from the very beginning. And she's been involved in a lot of these things. Now, just to, not to, you know, go off the rails here, but I do want to remind you that Matt Gaetz was very much in favor of releasing the Epstein files. Matt Gaetz, if he was attorney general, we probably would have had the Epstein files a year ago and we would have had convictions to go along with it. But unfortunately, he was suckered into a honeypot blackmail operation from an Israeli. Wait a second. I think I'm seeing a connection here. Matt Gaetz is not our attorney general because he was subject to an Israeli sexual underage blackmail operation. And so we're not able to expose the documents about the worldwide Israeli blackmail sex underage sex operation. That's very convenient. It sort of solves its own issues in a way. Isn't that interesting? So I don't know anybody, literally nobody except for people being paid to. I don't know anybody that likes Pam Bondi. I don't know anybody that thinks she's doing a good job. I don't know anybody that likes her at all. Like, she just sucks. She just really actually is terrible at her job or in on it. But she's not even good at that. Like, at least somebody who was good at their job would, like, give the impression that they're fighting. But she doesn't even do that. So she's not even good at not being good at her job. Does that make sense? Like, Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas, they were really good at not being good at their job. They opened up the border, but every time you heard them talk, it sounded like they were very serious and nose to the grindstone and we're getting things done and we're doing things by the book. Meanwhile, Pam Bondi doing absolutely nothing and shrieking and flailing and yelling and screeching and calling people names. It's just pathetic. It honestly is pathetic. Do you want to go to some of the screeching, shall we? Shall we hear some of the screeching that our national government has descended into? Let's go to clip 47 here, because this one is one of the ones that's going around of people going, what the hell is happening here? Why is Pam Bondi screeching about the stock market when she's asked a simple question about Epstein? But I actually don't think it's that out of, like, off the wall or out of left field. I think actually the answer she gives is actually an answer to the question she's asked, believe it or not. So here's Pam Bondi when she's asked about what's going on with Epstein. She goes into a shrieking tirade about the Dow Jones Index. Let's watch.
The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Committee will be in order.
Mr. Jordan, am I going to get an extra 45 seconds added to my time?
The committee will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas, Ms.
She kind of pulled a AIDS Skrillex there. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What does the Dow Jones have to do with Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirators? Probably more than you'd like to think. Again, she's asked about Jeffrey Epstein. What's going on with that? Are you going to indict any of the co-conspirators that are revealed in these documents? And her answer is, guys, the Dow Jones is at 50,000. Now, that seems crazy. That seems off the wall. It's why people are laughing, why she's freaking out. But let's just put this in like familial context. Okay. This is, you know, the wife going to the husband and going, what are you going to do about our daughter being raped? Our daughter was raped. What are you going to do about it? And the husband being like, look, I'm not worried about that. I'm making so much money right now. My job is so good. I make so much money. Now, that conversation would make no sense until you realize the daughter was raped by the boss. Then it all comes full circle. Then you understand, oh, okay. See, the Dow Jones being this high is because the people that were associated with Jeffrey Epstein haven't been threatened with arrest, and so they haven't crashed the market in response yet. See, I think that might be what she's saying. I don't know if that's how she meant it. That's how it came across to me, is you want us to go after these Jeffrey Epstein people. Do you want to lose your retirement accounts to do it? Are you willing to crash the world economy and drive us into total depression to do that? Because that's what's going to happen, because the people in the Epstein files are the most wealthy and powerful people in our country. So if they go down, guess what they take with them? The economy. Now, that's not actually true. You could actually systematically round these guys up, go to them individually, person to person, and go, look, you're going down for this, but you can help us to transfer your wealth, transfer your assets, help us to understand, you know, the consequence of you going down, and then we'll make it easy for you. You can, you know, have you be, hell, you can be a hero in this. You can actually be somebody that was willing to sacrifice all of their wealth and all of their influence to tell the truth. And in return, maybe you go to like a nice camp instead of a prison complex. Like, you can work with them. You could actually do that. You could actually systematically take these guys down and capture their wealth through the government. Like, we have inordinate ability to do that with the American government. They can do anything they want if they put their mind to it. So the whole concept that, like, oh, if we expose the criminals, the economy crashes and we can't do that, is a ridiculous excuse in the first place. But I'm pretty sure that's the excuse she was making right there. I don't know, but it seems to me like when she's asked, why aren't you taking down the Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirators? And her response is, have you seen how high the stock market is? I don't think these are not related. I think they're very well related, actually. I think that's actually the argument that's being made inside the halls of power. We can't go after these guys. If we do, it'll ruin all of the incredible progress we've made giving the rapist money. Okay. I mean, again, the Dow Jones, the stock market, is not actually reflective of the conditions of life in America. And as American life has degraded precipitously, like gone down, well, you don't go down a cliff, do you? You go off of one. As we have tumbled down the slope of quality of life over the last several decades, our stock market has risen in almost perfect proportion. So I don't actually care about what the stock market says. It seems to be reflective of something completely different than the quality of life and economic outlook of the average American person. So who cares? But these people do. Let's go to clip 48 here. This is Bondi again, going chit for tat, sharing blows with Jerry Nadler, the Goblin. Let's go to clip 48 here, where she calls him a washed up lawyer. Let's watch.
I mean, you can let her filibuster all day long, but not on our watch. Not on our time. No way. And I told you about that, Attorney General, before you started.
You don't tell me.
No, I did tell you, because we saw what you did in the Senate.
You're a lawyer, not even a lawyer.
Committee will be in order.
Time, and I should get back at least 45 seconds.
We will give you a few more seconds. I said that already.
45 seconds.
Okay.
It would be one thing if any of this was even remotely legitimate. Like, the whole thing is absurd because these people are shouting and yelling and demanding answers and acting with righteous indignation about something that they deliberately went out of their way to cover up for an entire decade. So their outrage isn't legitimate. Her outrage isn't legitimate. This is just a giant joke. This is a gigantic play-acting scam where everybody has completely switched sides from where they were a year ago, and yet are, you know, yelling and screaming with exactly the same vociferousness that they were previously. The whole thing is ridiculous and absurd and has become a gigantic circus. And it's all nonsense. Like, I've been saying for a long time, the comparison between Pam Bondi and somebody like Merrick Garland is not just because Merrick Garland knew how to play the game, knew how to present himself like a consummate professional, but like in a lot of ways, he was that consummate professional. And he did just do things behind the scenes. Pam Bondi will go out and give talks and appear on Fox News and, you know, wave her papers around and act like she's getting to the bottom of it. She talks very tough. And then at the end of the day, absolutely nothing comes from it. On the other hand, what we actually need, the inversion of that, and what would save the country would be a Merrick Garland type figure who just is quiet in the background, plugging away, getting indictments, getting arrests done, not talking about it very much, occasionally coming out and making a speech about how everything he's doing is perfectly by the book and under the letter of the law and not in any way guided by partisanship. And then you just arrest all the Republicans and, you know, act like it's business as usual. Like, that's actually what we need. We actually need a hyper-competent nerd to just be rounding these people up. Instead, we have some bimbo who's totally incompetent and flailing and desperately trying to cover that up. I'm sorry if this is offensive to anybody, but like, this is kind of the fate of our nation and in a way the fate of the world in the balance here. Like, what happens in the next year or so is going to determine the actual fate of the entire United States. And if we lose the midterms, that's it for us as a country. And we're going to have to start making some very, very difficult choices about the future of our population. So, like, this is not a game. This is not something where you can go, well, she's trying her best, or, well, you know, let's just wait and see. You know, I don't think she's doing much, but who knows? It could turn around. It's like, no, we don't have time for that. And frankly, we're not going to wait for that. And I think now, like, at this point, we might need to take what some people are already doing and up at another level. Showed you the video on the War Room earlier this week. Just a single woman found a name in the Epstein files. It turned out it was a professor at a college near where she lived. So she took it upon herself, made a sign, went, stood out in front of the university, waving a sign saying, this dude's a pedophile, he should be fired. And eventually the dean of the college came down and said, listen, we know about this. The guy's been fired. He's been let go. He's not going to be renewed for his, you know, whatever. And she succeeded in getting that guy fired. Now, that is, on one hand, great that somebody had the, you know, tenacity to go out and do that, the will to go out and make a change like that. Also, utterly pathetic that that's what it takes and that it was a single person and not a giant crowd. Now we're seeing more people. Now we're seeing crowds gather outside of places like Les Wexner's home. And frankly, we don't need an investigation. We don't need a trial. We don't need court cases. We have it all in their own words. It's the same thing as Russiagate or any of the other stuff that we've, any of the other scams that we've suffered under over the last 10 years. They keep announcing investigations like there's something to find out. No, when they're on text messages saying, this is our insurance plan, we're not going to ever let Trump get elected, and then they run the Russiagate conspiracy, like, that's guilt. He's guilty. The only thing now to do is to decide which law they broke and what the punishment should be. It's not a question of if they broke a law. It's a question of if they deserve life in prison or immediate death. I mean, that should be where we're at this point. I don't know how much longer we're going to wait for Pam Bondi to get her act together. And that's, I think that needs to be the message that we send, is like, look, we want you to do this. We don't have to. We don't have to wait for you to do it, but you probably should. It would be a lot better and healthier for the country if the lawful authorities did this, but it doesn't have to be them. I mean, it can be anybody. So I don't know. I don't know where we go from here, but it's entirely up to Pam Bondi and Donald Trump and the Epstein friends that he's surrounded by as to which path this takes into the future. When we come back on the other side, we're going to go to a report from Alex Jones and get into some more videos. We'll move on from Pam Bondi, but stay with us, folks. Major revelations, huge stories coming up. Alex Jones on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Somalia's electoral authorities have started issuing voter ID cards across Mogadishu as the capital prepares for its first direct municipal council elections in decades under a one-person, one-vote system.
Golly!
Out of over 170 nations that hold elections, the United States is one of only a few that don't have voter ID. Only a few backwater failed states, really aren't even countries, don't have voter ID. And then, of course, the United States. And the few places Kamala Harris won in 2024 were places that didn't have it. California has a law that you can't even ask for it. Well, Somalia just passed its national voter ID and is now using it in their elections. So you need it to buy alcohol or cigarettes or get on an airplane, but not when you vote. This is systemic fraud that's baked in.
And now you have the SAVE Act that's been shot down by the Republican leadership, Senator Thune. This is a real disaster for our country. They have been stealing elections for a long time. They will continue until we have voter ID and until the criminals that have been caught stealing elections all over the country are brought to justice. That's the reality. The agenda of Trump when it comes to election integrity is the standard that the State Department applies to the rest of the world. And according to the State Department's own guidelines for open free elections, we rate as an F minus. That is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. You're supposed to be able to question elections. You're supposed to have voter ID. You're supposed to have it counted at the local precinct level. All of these things are bypassed now, and the fraud just gets worse and worse. Here's the report from Somalia. They have it, but we don't.
Somalia's electoral authorities have started issuing voter ID cards across Mogadishu as the capital prepares for its first direct municipal council elections in decades under a one-person, one-vote system. Printing at the Somali Independent Election Committee headquarters operates around the clock in 2 8-hour shifts, producing an estimated 30,000 to 40,000 cards.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. The questioning of Pam Bondi continues in D.C. there. That was Alex Jones. He, of course, is out today, but he has been sending in reports. And I mean, just add it to the list of Republican failures. And honestly, at this point, it's our fault. It really is our fault. We really should have doubled down on Trump earlier on in his first administration and made sure to oust all of the Congress and Senate that didn't support him. I think that's kind of our fault. I think we need to primary every single one of these people because clearly they have absolutely no interest in doing absolutely anything that would benefit the American people. They have every chance to over and over again. They're given a wide open swath to do whatever they want, and they just do nothing. They do nothing. When it comes to the SAVE Act and voter ID, amongst Republicans, approval is over 90%. Something like 95% of Republicans want voter ID. When it comes to the Democrats, over 75%. They're often polled in the mid-80s. 85% of Democrats also say you should have an ID to vote. So when you have 80 to 90% of an entire country, or to be generous, 75% of an entire country that wants something and it can't get done, what does that tell you? It tells you we're not in a republic. We're not in a democracy. I'd say the same thing about the Epstein files. Of course, the fact that we got any of them is a victory for the republic, for the fact that our Congress that we elect actually can force the hand of the executive to a certain degree in getting these releases. That was a victory there. But the fact that they haven't been released in full and they haven't been released in a timely manner, this is an attempt by the Congress to reassert their power in the government construct, but they're refusing to do what the American people want in terms of the SAVE Act and voter ID. It is wildly popular, but it just absolutely won't get done. And so just added to the list of Republican failures. And it's not just in the administration, Pam Bondi, and the just relentless tyranny that has gone unpunished, the COVID stuff that's gone unpunished, the Russiagate stuff that's gone unpunished, the stealing of the 2020 election that's gone unpunished. Maybe there's some movement in some of those, but we've seen absolutely nothing. And they have a couple of months to get all of it done, or else we lose the midterms. The Democrats impeach Trump. They open up the border. They give backdoor, bureaucratic citizenship to everybody they came across, and we're stuck with them forever. And that's the end of the United States. So this is like the most important thing ever. Period. Like, that's it. This is actually the most important thing in our lifetimes, is that something get done to deal with this. Because the two options we have to avoid, I keep saying this about Epstein, there's two options that we have to avoid like the plague. And it goes all the way back to the Hippocratic Oath and the two things you're supposed to avoid there, which is therapeutic nihilism and overtreatment. And that's what we have to deal with. Overtreatment would be people just go insane and are just like, you know what, screw it, let's have like a communist revolution or something, because clearly the capitalist pigs that are raping children are unaccountable. And you just go, you know what, F it, whatever replaces this system will be better than the one that we have. And you just throw the whole thing in the gutter. And you can find out exactly what the French Revolution people found out, what the people in the Bolshevik Revolution found out, is sure, the Tsar had some dungeons that weren't very nice, but it was actually a hell of a lot better than the Gulag Archipelago that would come after, or in the French Revolution. Yeah, it wasn't great having to, whatever, pay indulgences or have the king, you know, be lawless. That wasn't fun, but it was probably better than the Reign of Terror, right? So we don't want to overtreatment. We don't want to go, okay, everything is screwed. Everybody's controlled. Let's just burn the whole thing down. And then on the other side of this, the pedophile network still exists, only we're all in gulags. That would not be a good outcome of this. But perhaps even worse outcome of that would be therapeutic nihilism. The idea that all of this comes out, all of this information is exposed, all of these people are convicted in their own words, and yet nothing happens. And yet nothing happens. That's worse than the information not being released. Is the information being released and then nothing is done about it? This information from the Jeffrey Epstein document drop is only as good as the action it inspires. And I've long said that I feel like this is a primary role that we play here at InfoWars, and I take on as a mission, is uplifting the morality, or the morale of the troops. Napoleon has a quote about how war is like 9/10 morale. The Romans have an old quote that was, an enemy is not defeated if he does not believe himself so. And so it's really like what we're fighting is a war. It is an information war, but the stakes are life and death. And if we fail in our morale, if we feel like we've lost, if we give up, then they win. And that's the only way that they win. The only way that they win is when we let them win and we admit defeat and roll over and surrender to them, which is what the psychological paradigm would be if all of this is released and nothing happens and all the people get away with it and Jeffrey Epstein keeps playing Fortnite in his Tel Aviv apartment and nothing is done. That is the most demoralizing thing that could happen. So right now, this release of these Epstein files, so a lot of people are seeing it and they're being revealed to the just disgusting underbelly of the world at this point, and it's blackpilling them. It's depressing them. It's overwhelming them. I'm here to tell you, folks, we have known about this for 20 years. Alex Jones has reported on this for 20 years. It does not beat us down. It does not make us depressed. It should fire you up. You should transmute your shock into outrage. And you should use that outrage to power activism. And that activism should be geared towards overthrowing the world order and reestablishing justice. And we can achieve that as long as you don't be disheartened by the fact that all these criminals are getting away with it for now. So we got a lot of work ahead of us, and now's the time to double down and organize and realize that they're on the back foot, that they are in retreat, that the release of these Epstein files and the things people are finding out about it and the work of the genius of the, you know, disconnected, decentralized human intelligence agency hive mind is finding out incredible things. And it's ironic and just totally devastating and defeating that, like, our greatest victory so far, the release of all of this stuff, the revelation of the truth that we've been, you know, trying to describe in vague details because we haven't had the particulars quite yet. The revelation of this stuff makes everybody depressed, makes everybody not want to fight. Like, what the hell are you talking about? This is our greatest victory. We just stormed the castle and knocked down the gate and raised the flag. And everybody goes, oh, this is hard, guys. I don't know. I don't know about all this. I mean, all the things we've revealed are really, you know, sad. It's like, what? No, there's demons out there that need killing. What are you talking about? Pick up your sword. Let's go. Like, what are we doing here? Don't forget, guys, like, they are panicking. They're freaking out. They don't know how to deal with this. They are not all powerful. That's the other thing that, like, we keep needing to reemphasize. Yes, there are conspiracies. Yes, there are massively powerful people out there that are able to get away with all sorts of stuff and are able to, you know, carry on these clandestine activities with the willful participation, the cover-up of the mainstream media and the authorities that are supposed to stop them. All that's absolutely true. They're not gods. They're not magical beings. They can't dictate reality to us. They have to contend with human will. Things happen that they don't expect and that they have to change their plan to contend with. Don't be blackpilled at the fact that all of this is coming out. This is a major cause of celebration, not depression. Like, please, please, for the love of God, don't let our victory suddenly get transmuted by them into us accepting defeat that doesn't even exist. This is all so crazy. So Pam Bondi is still being questioned. She's been questioned by Epstein. She's questioning about Epstein by Massey now. Thomas Massey, of course, was the person who wrote this bill, got it across. And the way things work out is so, so strange, so bizarre. The fact that Trump was the guy and all of his people around him were saying they were going to release the Epstein files. They didn't do it. But then somehow you got Thomas Massey, the libertarian, like far right winger, combining with the left wing who think it's about Trump. So go along with the plan to open up the Epstein files, thinking they're going to get Trump. And then it turns out in the Epstein files, it just shows that Trump blew the whistle on Epstein and was the reason he got arrested in the first place. It's just crazy how all this has worked out and how the roles keep flipping to complete inversion. It's just all so crazy. So let's go to these videos of Thomas Massey questioning Pam Bondi. We'll go to this first one. Bondi and Massey argue, but no answers come out. It's from Lord Bebo on X. Let's watch.
I have several questions for you. Who's responsible? Are you able to track who in your organization made this massive failure and released the victims' names? Are you able to track who it was that obscured Les Wexner's name as a co-conspirator in an FBI document? Do you have that kind of accountability?
I believe Wexner's name was listed more than 4,000 times. I already told you that.
Can I finish my answer?
Come on, let me finish my answer. We corrected that within 40 minutes. He was already, you're acting like everybody's trying to cover up Wexner's name.
Reclaiming my time.
I'm going to answer this question.
Reclaiming my time.
Mr. Chairman. This is how this works.
Can I have my time?
Mr. Chairman.
The gentlelady can give her answer. The time belongs to the gentleman from
Kentucky. All right, I'm reclaiming my time.
Can I give my answer?
So yes. I'm going to put the language of the bill up on the screen.
Chairman, may I give another my question. Answer on that? It's a political joke, and I need to give my answer on that.
We'll let the Attorney General respond, and then the gentleman can move to
Chairman,
his next question.
It's my time.
Within 40 minutes, Wexner's name was added back.
Within 40 minutes of me catching you red-handed.
There was one redaction out
where
of
he's
over
listed
40,
as a co-conspirator.
Okay. And we invited you in. This guy has Trump derangement syndrome. He needs to get, you're a failed politician.
I want you to watch the video. Chairman, please restore his time and remind the witness of the rules here.
Man, she sucks. Man, she really sucks. She really sucks. I don't think I have anything more edifying to say than that. You have Trump derangement. Okay. So what happened is the law, as it was written, said you're only allowed to censor or redact names for national security reasons, ongoing investigations, or because they're victims. They instead redacted names like Les Wexner, who was in the documents listed as a co-conspirator. And there's absolutely no justification for national security or any other reason. So they broke the law. So they redacted a name because they wanted to protect that person, not because it would be inappropriate to release his name. So they got caught. So Thomas Massey caught them, came out, announced this name that was redacted. That was Les Wexner. He's labeled as a co-conspirator. And then once he calls them out, it took them 40 minutes to go in and unredact that part. And she's acting like, for 40 minutes it happened. Well, no, it was a week, actually, a week in which his name was redacted until Thomas Massey called it out. And then it took you 40 minutes to, you know, actually admit that you did wrong and replace it. She calls this Trump derangement syndrome. That's Trump derangement syndrome, which is funny because I don't hear Thomas Massey talk about Trump almost at all. I watch a lot of stuff with Thomas Massey. He kind of avoids the whole Trump topic as much as humanly possible. He'll bring it up when necessary. Meanwhile, Donald Trump gets invited to a prayer breakfast, and the first thing he says is like, Thomas Massey needs to go. Thomas Massey is an idiot. And it's like, there's only one person that seems to be obsessive about this relationship or have some sort of derangement syndrome around the other person, and it ain't Thomas Massie. So what are we doing here? Let's go to the next one. Or should we just go to this longer one? We'll go to the full Massie questioning here. But before we do that, let's go to this quick video, because this is not Massie, but this is Ted Lieu, I think his name is. Let's go to the Ted Lieu video, and then we'll do the full Massie clip. But this is Ted Lieu asking about Prince Andrew, who's in the documents with very graphic pictures of him with women, as well as discussion. Seems like maybe Prince Andrew participated in a murder or two. Let's go to Pam Bondi.
The July 2025 memo from your Department of Justice stated, quote, "We did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties." These two photos, please put the photos back up. These two photos staring you in the face are evidence of a crime and more than enough evidence to predicate an investigation against former Prince Andrew. So I ask you, Attorney General Pam Bondi, why did you shut down this investigation last July, and why have you not prosecuted former Prince Andrew?
I don't believe you asked Merrick Garland these questions when he was Attorney General and set before.
I agree with you.
You twice.
I'm reclaiming my time. I agree with you. I agree with you. During the Biden administration, I called for people looking at Epstein files. Merrick Garland dropped the ball, as did Attorney General Bill Barr, as did Alex Acosta, a whole string of failures. But you are in charge. You have the power to change things, to hold these men accountable, and you're doing the opposite. You're protecting them.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, she's right, too. Obviously, they didn't care about the Epstein files under Merrick Garland. It wasn't a concern of theirs. They were busy going after Catholic parents who went to school board meetings and protested abortion clinics. They were busy arresting Holocaust survivors for singing outside of a Planned Parenthood. They had their priorities. They weren't concerned about Epstein. Again, this is the circus nature of all of this. It's all ridiculous. They're all abject liars, just trying to outlie one another. It's all ridiculous. Let's go to this next one from Thomas Massie. This one is 56 seconds long. Bondi, did you talk to about Epstein at all in the last 4 years? And this is Massie responding to sort of the same accusation. Why are you bringing this up now when you had 4 years under Merrick Garland? He had access to all of this. Why didn't it come up then? Let's watch.
FBI, did you ask Merrick Garland that the last 4 years? Did you talk about Epstein?
I am reclaiming my time. I'm glad you're asking about Merrick Garland.
You don't get a reclaim
because
time
this is
when
bigger
when
than Watergate.
When I don't answer
this,
a question,
this
the way
goes
you want.
Over four administrations. You don't have to go cool. back to Biden. Let's go back to Obama. Let's go back to George Bush. This cover up spans decades, and you are responsible for this portion of it.
And that's
now,
where the
I want to know at what point. At what point? Did the FBI and the DOJ decide that Lex Wessner was not a co-conspirator? Because our Epstein Files Transparency Act requires you, please put
time
it back on the screen, please, to release the internal decision about whether to prosecute him or not, and it's not in the files, and it's not in the files for any of these other men.
Time of the gentleman has
Which,
expired.
May she answer?
And
see, y'all seen what's going on in the UK? Have you all seen how the UK is responding to the Epstein files? Because what has come out in the UK about Peter Mandelson, Keir Starmer, and a few of the other, you know, conspirators there, it's basically bringing down the entire UK government. It's forcing Starmer to resign. People have already resigned. There's investigations being launched. I mean, it's having a real impact there. And it's crazy because that should be happening to 10 times the degree here. Already. We're seeing Pam Bondi doesn't know what the hell she's doing. Thomas Massie there just completely destroys her. She's like, why didn't you ask Merrick Garland? He's like, okay, you can go to Merrick Garland. You can go to the, you know, people under Bush and Obama. This goes back a while. And now you're here and you're now covering it up. So it's not an excuse to say, but they covered it up before me. Okay. So now you're in charge. Why are you covering it up? I'm not trying to give Merrick Garland a pass. Screw that guy. He should have been in prison for a while now, temporarily, until the real punishment can be delivered. That's my position on his traitorous activity. So I'm not defending him in the slightest, but yeah, she's the one covering it up now. So she's breaking the law, right? As Thomas Massie says, the law said you had to do this, this, this. You had to provide reasoning if you weren't going to charge them. They didn't do that. She broke the law. She's freaking out and refusing to answer questions. Meanwhile, Howard Lutnick has been proven to lie under oath about his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Every single one of these people should be resigning in disgrace so we don't have to force them out. They don't have that humility. They don't have that respectability like the people in the UK do. Why are we getting shown up by the people in the UK? Because everything is topsy-turvy, nonsense, retard world, and I can't make heads or tails of it. Let's go to this last clip of Massie and Pam Bondi squaring off once again.
Chairman, behind me I have three documents from the DOJ production that are emblematic of the massive failure of the DOJ to comply with the Epstein Files Transparency Act. To my right is an email that was sent by the victim's lawyers to the DOJ. It was a list of names not to redact, a list of names not to release. What did the DOJ do with this email? They released this email in the document production. Literally the worst thing you could do to the survivors, you did. And they're getting phone calls. A lot of these people didn't want to be known. And we know you touched the document because you redacted one name. And you redacted the lawyer's name, but you left the survivor's name there. The next document I want to show you, that was in the title, the victim's survivor's names, all right? The title of this one is Child Sex Trafficking, Co-Conspirators, fully redacted. And by the way, I'm going to unredact them here. Les Wexner is in this. Now, your assistant deputy.
He's physically ripping off the black bars that block him.
Oh, well, he appears hundreds of times in the files. But he doesn't appear in this file until I forced you to release it, where he's listed as a co-conspirator, not to tax evasion, but to child sex trafficking, not to prostitution, not to money laundering, child sex trafficking. And then finally, what we have here is the third exhibit that I have is emblematic of the FD-302 release.
And of course, it's just completely blacked out. You get absolutely no information from the 302s. Those are the forms that the FBI fills out after they question somebody. So they blocked out all of the conspirators, but published all the names of the victims, literally the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do. It's beyond incompetence. It's deliberate malfeasance, in my opinion. We're going to continue into the second hour with Joey Pepperoni breaking down the Epstein list. But I have to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we stay on the air, the only way that we're able to actually continue this fight that we started 20 years ago against the pedophile satanic networks in this world. You can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off all supplement subscriptions today. So if you sign up for a regular delivery of a product, it guarantees that product is always going to be delivered to you, even if we sell out otherwise. And you get 50% off for signing up, thealexjonesstore.com.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.